Well, the race for the Premier League title is back on, and could the pressure be getting to the leaders? No league wins in three now for Arsenal, with the lead now just 4 points as they prepare for a tough-looking trip to Elland Road to take on Leeds United. Manchester City will hope the Gunners slip up again ahead of their trip to Spurs on Sunday, while Aston Villa are the only one of the top three on home soil this weekend as they host Brentford. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Assist show, brought to you in association with freesupertips.com. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by James Milton and Dan Charles to discuss their thoughts on all of the Premier League games taking place across the weekend, as well as the key EFL fixtures. And don't forget, of course, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And make sure you check out the freesupertips.com homepage for your daily football hackers and bet builders. Well, let's get straight into the action then this week after what has been an absolutely stunning midweek of Champions League football. It's back to domestic matters, and we'll start off with what is the biggest game of the weekend. We've already touched upon it, of course. Elland Road is the venue for Leeds against Arsenal. It's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, which for a game of this magnitude is a little bit surprising, and Leeds 5-1 to claim the victory here. Arsenal 8-15. And the draw 16-5. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. Obviously, Arsenal getting a little bit nervy, suggestions at the moment with the recent league form. Obviously, they got that win over Kairat in midweek, made a few changes along the way as well. But in terms of the league, do we feel like the pressure is maybe getting to them slightly?
I'm not sure. I think it could be one that, you know, just because these results have come along all in a row, you know, the narrative builds. But I think there's no need for Arsenal to panic just yet. As you mentioned, 8 wins out of 8 in the Champions League, which is not to be sniffed at. And you look at those last three league games, you know, they were poor against Liverpool in that 0-0. They dominated the 0-0 at Forest, really should have won that one. And then against United, you know, it was a wild game, wasn't it? Arsenal looked in complete control. Then the error from Zubimendi lets United back in. And United scored a couple of stunning goals to win the game 3-2 late on. So I don't think Arsenal should be panicking. Having said that, I think this is a really tricky trip for them. You know, they were able to make changes in midweek, and the squad depth is just ridiculous. You know, they've got some unbelievable players who can't even make the matchday squad at the moment. But I think Leeds, you know, have to be respected given their recent run. Yeah, you know, so hard to beat since switching to that back three. I think it's one defeat in 11, and that was that game at Newcastle where Leeds were leading going into injury time, the 4-3. So I think it's a really awkward one for Arsenal. I like the look of a 2-1 Arsenal win in the correct score market. You know, early in the season, we were, you know, banking on Arsenal win to nil week in, week out. But their last 7 victories in all competitions, the opposition have scored. So I think that's one way to attack this one.
I mean, if you're being an optimistic Arsenal supporter or backer, Dan, you would say that, you know, they've probably been a bit unfortunate with where they've hit teams at certain times in recent weeks in terms of the fixture list. And this was arguably be another situation with a trip to Leeds in the form that they're in.
Yeah, and you can look at this title race in a couple of different ways, can't you? If you're in the Arsenal camp, you can look at it and you could think, my God, if we'd won these last three games, we'd be 11 points clear and it would be all over. But then if you're in the City camp, you're going to look at their recent results and you're going to think, well, we should really be leading now as well. So yeah, there's this, that ultimately they are, you know, 15 games to go. They've got a 4-point lead. As Milch just said there, they've won all 8 games in the Champions League. It's not a bad position to be in. And with a largely healthy squad, I think we're carrying a lot of injuries earlier in the season, which they kind of come through. So, yeah, I mean, you got the you know, a good position in the League Cup semi-final as well against Chelsea. You got that to come next week. So there's a lot of fixtures building up, but no, I think they're in a. I can see why Mikel Arteta, the comments he made after the game, because I think it's more to do with the history and the crowd. He's kind of worried that's kind of bringing on a pressure of itself, and he kind of wants them to enjoy the ride, if you like. But you know, football supporters are just naturally. you know, emotional yeah, yeah, yeah. And get edgy. And I don't know how you're going to solve that, really, just by getting a couple of wins on the board, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the only way, isn't it, at this stage of the season, is just picking up a win, even if you're not playing particularly well. But Elland Road is always going to be a tough place to go anyway. And the form that Leeds are in, and they would love nothing else than to throw another spanner in the works, Dan.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with, I think they might throw a spanner in the works. Going to go with a draw. I think it's a bit overpriced. A little bit, last week, if you'd have asked me with the Man United-Arsenal game, who's the more likely to win, you would say Arsenal. I'd say the same again. But my thoughts, you know, our job is to look at the prices. And I thought the Arsenal price against Manchester United last week was too short. I think they're too short here as well. When you look at the home record of Leeds and the away record of Arsenal, there's only actually a 2-point difference in the points takes. Leeds have took 19 points at home, Arsenal 21 away, and the Arsenal going off at 8-15. And you've not even factored in with that Leeds have only lost one of their last 10 games. And that was the game at Newcastle where they were 3-2 up with not long to go and ended up losing. So they've really come a long way, but they can't kind of like rest on their laurels and treat this as a free hit, because with West Ham winning games, there's not a big gap, you know, from between Leeds and the bottom three. So they've got to keep pushing. And I just think that they're looking a really tough side to play against, whether he plays a back three or a four as well. They're not predictable in the way that they set up, which is another feather in the cap for Daniel Farke. And as much as, like I said, Arsenal are the more likely team to win, but for me, they're not 8-15 shots. So I'd rather, value purposes, I'd rather be on the draw.
Mills, just before we head on to the next game on the list, just our last word on Arsenal for the moment. And goal scoring, which has become probably a bit more of an issue over the last few weeks than it has been otherwise. But if Mikel Arteta had to pick his best team tomorrow, does he go with Gyökeres up front, or does he think that Havertz is the best option long term? I mean, we've seen Gabriel Jesus been used as well in that position. It's not quite worked as according to plan.
Yeah, I mean, Kai Havertz has kind of been the forgotten man, but with his injury layoff, you know, he was Arsenal's top scorer last season, and they've had to do without him pretty much the whole season. Came back in the Champions League, really bright in that first half against Kairat, scored and created a couple of goals as well. So I think he might get the nod long term. You know, Gyökeres, he's been given a good go, hasn't he? And you know, you can't really fault his effort, but it's not quite clicking for him. I think Arteta absolutely loves Kai Havertz. He's always defended him ever since he arrived at Chelsea, you know, kind of seeking to restore his reputation. And I think Kai Havertz might offer that little bit extra guile and craft in that kind of centre-forward role.
Okay, well, up next, it's on to the chasing pack, because Manchester City are away to Tottenham on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And as far as the prices are concerned, Spurs are 15-4 to claim the victory. It's 16-5 the draw, and Manchester City 13-20. The big win against Eintracht Frankfurt in midweek, Dan, has taken some of the heat off Thomas Frank, but he still needs results in the league. And, not only would it help his cause, it'd also help Arsenal's cause along the way.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a big divergence at the moment between Spurs' league form and the Champions League form. I mean, in the league, no win yet this year. I mean, the last win was that 1-0 against Palace. And we all know what a dreadful state they've been in for the last couple of months. So in the Champions League, they're playing really well. I mean, how do you judge that game against Frankfurt, who had nothing to play for? It's difficult. Yeah. But from a Spurs point of view, they did the job really well. Xavi Simons continues to improve. He got a lot of stick earlier in the season, but his performances, maybe not the numbers at the moment in terms of goals and assists, but he's emerging as a really influential player for Spurs. So that's a positive. But you looked at Spurs' bench in the week, and it was like a creche, wasn't it? I mean, there were just so many kids on there. And so they're going to have to go with largely the same players. You've got a couple of guys that are ineligible, like Conor Gallagher, Matisse Thiel, who will come into the frame. But largely you're going with the same players. Some of them have been coming back from injury recently, like your dog Ian Saar had an illness after the Africa Cup of Nations. So I just think that lack of squad depth at the moment, and the fact that they went on such a poor run in the league, is going to tell here. I think Manchester City have got far more options, had a sticky spell in the league, then got the win against Wolves, as you'd expect, and then the win against Galatasaray to seal the top eight spot. They're going to have a good chance to to freshen things up again, you know, for this one. And I just think they'll be too strong here. Spurs have got doubt over Van de Ven. I mean, you know, they coped in Frankfurt without him. Against City, it's a whole different proposition. So, yeah, City look a solid bet to me.
Yeah, City also welcoming back Mark Gay and Antoine Semenyo as well, Milton. I think probably the massive boost for Pep Guardiola going into this is that Haaland's back amongst the goals after a strike in midweek. And if they are going to hunt down Arsenal, he's going to need to be firing all cylinders.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, you know, we spoke about Arsenal's centre-forward options. You know, Haaland clearly gives City the edge over pretty much any team in the world in that respect. Having said that, I think City can be opposed here. I certainly take on board what Dan has to say about Tottenham and their league form. But I feel there has been a positive response to that defeat to West Ham, where, you know, it really was kind of doom and gloom. You know, a couple of good wins in the Champions League against Dortmund and then on track Frankfurt. And you know, they created so many chances in that draw at Burnley. I know they needed a late equaliser, but I think City can be opposed. You know, they're so poor in the Manchester derby, and I can't quite put a line through that. You know, a couple of comfortable wins since then, Wolves and Galatasaray. But I think this is maybe more awkward than the betting suggests. You know, lots of punters like to look at the kind of bogey team angle as well. And Spurs have been a bogey team for City. You know, they've won five of the last seven at home in the league. They beat them at the Etihad earlier in the season. And one of those games that they didn't win at home was obviously that bizarre fixture at the end of the 2023-24 season, when a slip-up from City could have handed Arsenal the title. And I think Charlesy was there in his Erling Haaland shirt cheering on City for that one. So, you know, Spurs have got a great record against City. And I think the draw is worth a small bet in this one.
Milt still has nightmares of Son running through on goal 1-1, I think, after all these years. Yeah, that is the first two games of the week covered then. We're going to turn our attentions now to Chelsea, who arguably had the result of midweek with that comeback win against Napoli in Naples to send them into the top eight of the Champions League. And finally, Liam Rossini are getting a little bit of praise along the way for how the Blues have been performing in recent weeks. Chelsea up against West Ham in a big game, of course, not only with London Pride at stake, but the Hammers trying to fight their way out the bottom three. Chelsea 2-1 on to claim the victory here. It's 5-1 West Ham and 7-2 the draw. Milt, a quick word firstly on Chelsea. Big win in Napoli, and that's only going to boost their confidence.
Yeah, definitely. I think they really needed that, didn't they? I mean, yeah, you know, I think finishing in the top eight, we've seen, you know, the Premier League clubs have just been a class apart in the Champions League this season. But yeah, really impressive victory for Chelsea. But as we mentioned earlier in the show with Arsenal, you know, you can run into a team at the wrong time. And Chelsea, you know, a couple of weeks ago would have looked at this as a really nice fixture. Now West Ham with a couple of wins under their belt, you know, closing the gap on the teams above them, a bit more confidence. So I think it is awkward, particularly for Chelsea after that tough midweek trip. I think both teams to score is a really solid bet in this one. You know, we saw how entertaining that game in Naples was. And, you know, Chelsea thrashed West Ham 5-1 at the London Stadium at the start of the season. I don't think it's going to be quite that kind of scoreline this time around. West Ham, you know, full of confidence. Nuno's managed to pack plenty of attacking talent into his lineup now. Somerville and Bowen on the wings. And yeah, I think they can give Chelsea a scare.
And they've added to the squad this week as well, Dan, with the addition of Adama Traore as a bit of extra pace going forward as well. Have West Ham shown enough for you in the last couple of weeks to suggest they're not out of this relegation battle?
Certainly not out of it. I mean, a couple of the signings they've made already, Castellanos and Pablo Felipe, have given them, you know, certainly a bit extra offensively. They're looking a bit tighter at the back as well. They had issues with, you know, a couple of players that were away at the Africa Cup of Nations have come back. Wan-Bissaka, he sort of strengthened them up as well there. I just think this one for Chelsea, this comes in the middle of two massive games, isn't it? They've gone to Napoli on Wednesday, then they've got Arsenal in the second leg of the League Cup. You know, only one goal in that on Tuesday. And I just think this game could could kind of get lost a little bit for Chelsea, that it's the game in between two huge matches. And I just wonder if they might be a little bit off it. I find Chelsea very hard to predict. I've got to be honest, they're very up and down side, but I don't think they're going to be at their best here. And with West Ham having a free week and, you know, improving at the moment with those new signings, I'm not going to go as far as to say to back them to get a result, but I actually think it'll be quite a tight game. And the under 2.5 goals, around 6-4, that appeals to me. Going to go with that.
Okay, we have a Saturday evening game at 8 o'clock this week, and it takes place at Anfield, where two Champions League sides will go head-to-head, Liverpool and Newcastle. The Reds fresh from a thumping of Karabag on Wednesday evening, a 3-4 to claim the victory here. Newcastle with an impressive performance with a much-changed team at PSG, a 31-10, and the draw is 3-1. Liverpool needed that win in midweek, Dan, if not alone, just to sort of get a bit more confidence in their attacking players. How do you think they'll fare here?
I think they'll get the win here. Shade of odds on. I'm okay with that. I know Newcastle made, you know, some changes in the week, but I still think the setup of the week for them to go to PSG for a high emotional game with a hell of a lot of riding. I didn't get the outcome in the end that they wanted. Wanted to get into the top eight. I know it was a tough ask, but they fell short. And Liverpool have had that stroll against Karabag at home. I just think the timing of the fixture, it's a lot easier for Liverpool to play after that home game, an easy home game, than Newcastle after a tough away game. And you factor in as well that Liverpool, although they're not as strong as at home as they've been in recent seasons, they've still only lost two home Premier League games this season. Newcastle have only won two of their two games on the Premier League travels, not convincing away from home. This is one of the tougher road trips of the season. So shade of odds on for Liverpool, given the way the Champions League fixtures worked out in the week. I'm okay with that.
I think the big concern as well for Newcastle Milts at the moment is Bruno Guimarães, who has had his injury problems in the last week or so. Tend to be a different team when he doesn't play.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you're monitoring Eddie Howe's quotes on that situation closely. So he was in the squad in Paris, but didn't come off the bench. You know, as a Newcastle backer, you'd be desperate for him to start, particularly with Joe Linton sidelined now for a few weeks. I take on board Dan's points about Liverpool. I'm just not quite ready to side with them at these odds against a pretty solid Newcastle side. I think Newcastle will take heart from that draw at PSG. You know, they didn't make it into the top eight, but you know they're going to end up with a pretty nice playoff against like Monaco or Karabag. You know, we saw Karabag dismantled at Anfield in midweek. But you know, I'm not convinced that things are all suddenly perfect at Anfield. You know, Arne Slot was being well backed to be the next manager, sacked at the start of the week after that defeat at Bournemouth, winless in five league games. I think team news will be crucial, as we've mentioned, with Bruno Guimarães. But I think Newcastle are worth siding with. Draw no bet in this one.
Okay, well, next it is Aston Villa, who are, of course, still hot on the tails of Arsenal and Manchester City as Unai Emery's men prepare to face Brentford at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Villa 19-20 here to gain the win. Brentford 14-5, and the draw is 13-5. We should caveat, Milts, at the moment that there are major injury problems starting to hit the Villa camp. No John McGinn for a few weeks, no Kamara, and now we hear that Youri Tielemans is also going to be out for a period of time. I mean, they are three big injury problems for Emery to have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that central midfield partnership between Kamara and Tielemans is, you know, probably up there with one of the best in the league, I think. And that's going to be a huge blow to Villa. You know, the positive for them is that they've got so many points on the board, haven't they? You know, still a 10-point gap to Liverpool in six. So they're, you know, in great shape to make the Champions League. But having said that, yeah, I think they're going to struggle to control games without that first-choice central midfield partnership. I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals in this one. I think Brentford has shown all season that they've got some real attacking quality. Struggled last weekend against Forest in that home defeat. But, you know, they lost at Chelsea and created some really good chances. The previous two games were 4-2 win at Everton and 3-0 against Sunderland. I think, as we've mentioned there, Villa, this is going to be a really testing time for them without those key midfielders. And yeah, I think this could be an open contest.
Yeah, and we're talking before Aston Villa in Europa League action on Thursday evening. So another game to squeeze in before this clash with Brentford on Sunday. Dan, it's getting to that crunch stage of Villa. I mean, I think most people expected they were going to drop off by now, and the results against Palace and Everton recently suggested they would, and then other teams around and about them have also slipped up, but it is going to be difficult with all these injury issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big result from them, wasn't it, to beat Newcastle as well, last week as well. That increased the gap to one of those teams that's going to be sort of chasing for that top four or five positions. I mean, I know Unai Emery doesn't want to talk about it, but they are still in the title race at the moment, with 15 games to go. But I do agree, those injuries, and they're all in a similar area of the pitch as well. They're all massive players for Villa. I just don't see how that's not going to affect their performances. This is one of these. You look at the price for Villa, just a shade of odds on, or even maybe around evens. It looks attractive, given their home form, Brentford's away form, but positions in the league. But I wouldn't be getting sucked into that. I just think you've got to take each game on its merits. Brentford are a dangerous side, despite the couple of defeats they've had recently. They're only 5 points off the top four, which is shows how well they're doing. And I can see a close game here. Going to go with a draw. I think it's overpriced.
Okay, well, five games down, five still to go in the Premier League. But firstly, just to mark your card, it's worth checking out the January free bet offers on racingpost.com. Look for the all offers section on the homepage. As an example, you could have got 100-1 for Manchester United to win at Arsenal last week. So definitely worth checking those out before placing your bets on the weekend's football action. Up next for us, it's to the City Ground, Nottingham Forest against Crystal Palace, which is... that's quickly turning into a potential six-pointer at the bottom end of the table. Forest also, of course, in Europa League action on Thursday evening. Then 19-20 to claim the win. It's 29-10 Palace, and the draw is 5-2. Well, Dan, you mentioned last week that Palace could yet be dragged into this relegation battle. Another defeat last week, and, well, all sorts of turmoil surrounding the Selhurst Park club at the moment. I mean... it's looking more and more realistic by the week that they are going to be dragged into this battle.
Yeah, I think there's an important couple of days coming. I think they could do with a bit of a refresh, really, in terms of a couple more players coming in the transfer window. So I think they are a bit of risk. I mean, the way that 2 points from the last eight games, and for most of that period, they did have Mark Gerhey in the defence, so... they can't afford another run like that going forward. Otherwise, the way that the likes of Forest and West Ham are picking up points, they're going to be in all sorts of trouble. Just the whole mood around the club, with Glasner, conceding that he's going to be leaving, Mateta, wanting out as well. It's just that Adam Wharton suspended for this game, big player in midfield as well. I just think that, sometimes it's easy to look past the obvious here. I just think that Forest, a shade of odds on, they've taken 7 points in the last three games, including a 0-0 against Arsenal. You can't ask for a lot more than that. And pretty healthy squad going into it. I know they've got the Europa game, but it's at home against Ferencvaros. So I think their main focus is still going to be on getting the Premier League points, and I think they'll get them this weekend.
Yeah, Milts, you look at the Palace situation and... you just feel like the owners have got a big decision to make shortly. Do they make the change now and try and bring somebody in the hope that sort of rejuvenates the squad? Or do they think, well, actually, we'll stick with Glasner because he knows the squad inside out and he's done the job so far, of course, so well over the last sort of 18 months or so. It's a massive decision at this stage of the season.
It is, because there are bound to be doubts among the fans and maybe even the players. If Glasner knows he's leaving, he knows he's going to be linked with some big jobs, isn't he? How much stomach for the fight does he actually have if things continue to go badly? But I mean, just looking at their relegation odds, start of December they were 250-1. Now I think they're into about 8-1, and it's a really, really important couple of weeks coming up. I think they've got Forest. I think they play Leeds and Wolves quite soon as well. So they've got some real must-win games. There's obviously tensions off the field and issues on the pitch as well. So I think it is really, really worrying times for Palace. I'm looking at this game, and I think Dan's right. I don't think Forest will be too affected by that Europa League game, you know, pretty much nailed on for a playoff spot. I think they were 33-1 to make the top eight on Thursday night, obviously after we're speaking now. But I think this is going to be a cagey start to the game. You know, looking at Forest's slow starts, they've scored 8 goals in the first half of league matches this season. And 3 of those came on the opening day against Brentford. So I like the look of a 0-0 at halftime in this one. You know, I think Palace are just going to have to dig in and hope they can turn things around. And the one thing you would say is, you know, Daniel Munoz is back and Ismail Assar as well. You know, 2 really, really big players who they've missed badly over the last month or so. So, you know, I think Palace will be able to get out of trouble. But yeah, this is a massive game for both clubs.
It is indeed. And I don't think it's going to be the prettiest on the eye in terms of that. But it doesn't matter because the points are what matters for both Forest and Palace in the battle to avoid the drop. One team amongst the points of late, Manchester United. Back-to-back wins over Man City and Arsenal will play host to Fulham on Sunday afternoon. A 2 o'clock kickoff at Old Trafford. And United are 4-7 to make it 3 wins out of 3. Fulham 4-1. And the draw here is 7-2. How many times, Milts, have we said of Man United turned a corner in recent times? But having said that, the performances in the last 2 games have been a level above what they have been under Ruben Amorim.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know when Michael Carrick was appointed, Gary Neville said he shouldn't get the job long term, even if he wins every game. Well, he's made a pretty decent start. You know, what you would say about this fixture in particular is it's a different type of challenge, isn't it? You know, United were kind of 11-4, I think, against City, you know, with the home crowd obviously desperate for a fresh start. And then there were 5-1 underdogs at Arsenal. Now you're looking at them, you know, when the onus is on them to win the game as favourites. You know, can punters start relying on United in their weekend ackers? I think it is a tricky game because Fulham have been in excellent form themselves. You know, one defeat in 8, and that was to a late goal at Leeds, who we've already mentioned are going well. So I like the look of Man United to win and both teams to score here. I think they've still got issues in defence, but as we've seen, you know, that summer investment in the attacking unit is really starting to pay off. I think they've got enough firepower to see off Fulham.
Yeah, one major factor as well, which has been revealed this week, is Patrick Dorgu, who's been really good form, is facing a lengthy spell on the sidelines through injury. So Michael Carrick is going to have to try and tweak things a little bit, Dan. But the impetus that they've got at the moment, they really need to try and build on that.
Yeah, I think as well, you've got to be... Sometimes it's easy to just look short-term results and just put everything down to a change of manager. There are other factors at play here as well. I mean, you've had Mbeumo and Diallo have just come back from the AFCON in time for him coming into the job. Bruno Fernandes, he was injured when he towards the end of Amorim's spell and only lasted, you know, he only could do an hour in the last match that he was in charge, the game at Burnley that drew 2-2. I just think that, you know, it has kind of fallen into place a little bit with all those 3 massive players suddenly, you know, coming back into the side. Mm. And they perform very well. So you have to give credit where it's due. 2 massive fixtures, got 6 brilliant points. This is a different challenge, though, I would say, because they did well with that counter-attacking threat and being solid and without the ball and playing that way without the possession against City and Arsenal. Now they're going to have to... The onus is going to be on them to take the game to Fulham and might be against a fairly deep block and have to, you know, find the spaces. But I think they'll probably win. But it's one of those where the price I'm just a bit uncomfortable with to just back them to win. Fulham are on a good run, you know, 17 points from the last 8 games, only 4 points behind United in the table. Great characters to come from behind against Brighton and win that game as well. You know, like last weekend. But like I said, I do think United with those attacking players clicking now are going to win the game. I'm going to go same bet as Milts, United to win and both teams to score.
Okay, 3 more games left to go in our rundown of the Premier League fixtures, and it's to Molineux next. Wolves and Bournemouth meet on Saturday at 3 p.m. The bottom club 21-10 to claim a victory here. It's 6-5 Bournemouth and 13-5 the draw. Signs of improvement still from Wolves as they look to still try and beat that points record from Derby, Dan. Bournemouth's an interesting one. I mean, obviously, For much of last week, they were outplayed by Liverpool, but they hung in there and, you know, still showed the quality that they have when they're going forward. Even losing Semenyo, the forward players and the ability that they have should really be getting them further up the table, you'd think, over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and you can sign that sometimes in games, it can look like a comfortable like for Liverpool because they had a lot of the territory and a lot of possession. But if you actually break it down to clear chances, Bournemouth had quite a lot of big chances, didn't they, in the game? So that, you know, you could still craft them arguments to suggest that they, you know, deserve their win really. And they're what they've got now 7 points from the last three games. Could easily have been nine. They conceded a wonder goal, didn't they, against Brighton in that 1-1 draw. So it's a nice turnaround for them. They were a team that was starting to question getting sucked a little bit too near for comfort to that bottom end of the table, but they're looking nice and comfortable now. Wolves have improved, no doubt about it, but still only one win at the moment all season for them. You know, Bournemouth have only had one win away. It doesn't, you know, fill me with great confidence the thought of backing either side. What I did notice last week, Evan Nilsson's picking a bit of confidence up for Bournemouth. He's scoring a few goals, got another goal in the win against Liverpool. So he's priced any time to score 12-5. I'm going to go with that.
Okay, James, look at Bournemouth and Andoni Areola has been linked with a couple of other clubs over recent weeks, the likes of Tottenham and Crystal Palace. And I just wonder, that might well have helped Bournemouth a little bit in terms of the players, you know, wanting to perform for him, him also increasing his profile, potentially the better Bournemouth do. And you know, as Dan's mentioned there, they've picked up some decent results of late.
Yeah, absolutely. I think ever since he came in, actually, you know, he always talks about loving kind of chaos in his tactics. They've always been sort of streaky. And so they had that long winless run, then a couple of 3-2 wins at home to Tottenham and Liverpool. I think this is, you know, this is what you get with Areola. But you know, as Dan mentioned, I mean, the attacking quality can't be questioned. And I think, you know, Wolves' last home game was that drab 0-0 draw with Newcastle. I think this is going to be a very different encounter. Over 3.5 goals looks a good bet to me. You know, Bournemouth's away matches are averaging almost 4.5 goals per game. They had that 3-3 draw at Newcastle in the FA Cup as well, losing on penalties. And five of Wolves' 8 home defeats this season have featured over 3.5 goals. You know, Wolves have to go on the offensive to try and claim that second win of the season. But yeah, I think Bournemouth have the tools to rack up a few goals at Molineux as well.
Well, I think most people would have been expecting Monday's 8 o'clock kickoff to be a 6-point relegation battle at the start of the season, when Sunderland face Burnley. But of course, the Black Cats pretty comfortable in terms of the Premier League standings at the moment, although they come into this off the back of a heavy away defeat last time out. But Sunderland, a different proposition at the Stadium of Light, 8-11 to win this game. Burnley, 17-4, and it's 13-5 the draw. Let's talk a little bit about Burnley, Milts, first, because, you know, a couple of recent results who could have swung either way, that draw with Manchester United, the draw with Tottenham. We could have been looking at, you know, 4 more extra points for Scott Parker's men and potentially looking at them trying to get out of that bottom three. At the moment, it's still looking like a long way back.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, score draws with United, Liverpool and Tottenham in their last 3 games. So obviously, all in isolation, decent results. But yeah, the problem is they've left themselves too much to do, I think. And you know, particularly with West Ham improving above them as well. So I think it is going to be difficult for them. You know, the underlying data suggests that they are doomed. And, you know, maybe their results have been a little bit flattering. But, you know, they've shown a lot more kind of attacking intent than maybe they did in the Championship last season. You know, it's been an amazing turnaround when you look at these two clubs. Burnley finished 24 points better off than Sunderland in last season's Championship. Sunderland really emphatically turned the table. Some amazing recruitment in the summer. Really impressive manager. And that's reflected in their match odds on Monday. You know, unbeaten at the Stadium of Light in the Premier League, which is an incredible effort at this stage of the season. I'm actually like the look of over 2.5 goals at odds against. 8 of Burnley's 11 away games have had over 2.5 goals. A couple of the exceptions were 1-1 draws. And yeah, I think, you know, Sunderland will look at this as a great chance for another 3 points. So yeah, I think this should be more open than the betting suggests, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Regis Labriss will want a response to last week, Dan, and being on home soil, is Sunderland the team to beat here?
Yeah, I fancy Sunderland just to win the game. I think it's a reasonable price. You're a little few things sort of saying about almost like Sunderland's job is done, and that they're, you know, I agree that they're safe, but this idea of 15 games to go that they've kind of not got much to play for. I mean, they're 4 points outside the top five. I mean, what is there not to go for there? I mean, they're having a fantastic season. Okay, bad result and a bad performance at West Ham. They had another one of those, away to Brentford a while back. But generally, they're reliable. They're ultra competitive, especially at home. Still unbeaten at home, and I just think they'll be too strong here. I mean, Burnley's, I think it's a little bit flattering them last couple of results that they've got. They gave up 32 shots against Liverpool, 18 against Spurs. Probably should have lost both games, really. I think they're doomed. 10-point gap to bridge the way they're playing is way, way too much. And, I think they'll lose this weekend.
And last but not least, we're going to head to the Amex Stadium now at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Brighton and Everton do battle. In terms of the prices, well, I can tell you that Brighton are 17-20 here to claim the win. It's 31-10 Everton and 27-10 the draw. Everton, again, we keep saying this, Danny, week in, week out. Hard to work out where they're at. I mean, they got a draw at home to Leeds last time out with a much better second half performance at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. But without Jack Grealish now due to injury, there's other players having to step up, and Tierno Barry in particular starting to look like a decent addition for the Toffees.
Tierno Barry stepped up, so that's a big difference, because they really had, you know, no one they could rely on to get the goals at the centre forward position. Dewsbury Hall coming at half time as well. He kind of changed the flow of that game. And they were terrible in the first half against Leeds. I mean, Leeds should have been out of sight at half time the way the game was going. But I just think in general with Everton, they're a team I like to get with more away from home and not so much at home. And they've actually got more points away from home. And there's reasons for that, I believe, that they've not got tons of creativity, but they're very, very resilient in terms of playing away from home. Got a bit of a counter-attacking threat and some pace and good with set pieces, which is a kind of basis for a team that's strong away from home. So given that, I think the prices here, I mean, there's Brighton 3 points below Everton in the table. Had that disappointment, didn't they, last weekend against Fulham, where they took the lead and then didn't get anything out of the game. I mean, they're around this shade of odds on here against a strong away side. I'd be going the other way. I think Everton or draw double chance is the way to go.
Milter, I saw a story this week that suggested that Forest were trying to sign Lewis Dunk to try and strengthen their defensive lineup at the moment. But Brighton are one of those strange teams, again, I suppose a little bit like Everton, where it's very hard to predict.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Dunk, one of the few Brighton players who they can't sell to Chelsea for kind of 70 million, it seems. But I just feel like Dan says, I feel we've all been stung by Brighton in this kind of fixture too many times at these sort of odds. I'm going to go for the draw in this one. You know, Brighton's last home game, they needed that stunning late bicycle kick from Kostoulas to pinch a 1-0 draw against Bournemouth. You know, they're on course for another draw at Fulham before Harry Wilson scored a late goal. I think Dan's right. Everton away from home, you know, 1-2-0 at Forest, 1-1-0 at Villa, who had been on that long winning streak at Villa Park. You know, that it was a pretty grim game decided by a goalkeeping error. But yeah, I think Everton can dig in and take a point here.
Well, that's the Premier League covered then for another week. We'll be looking at the EFL very shortly. But before that, we'll be talking Fantasy Premier League. Well, it's FPL time again now, and Tom Hill is back to join us and give his suggestions for who to select in your Fantasy League team in game week 24.
We have another 5-4 and one game split across Saturday, Sunday and Monday this week, and the deadline for our teams is 1:30 on Saturday afternoon. Game week 24 is the last round of fixtures before the close of the January transfer window, so it could be a good time to roll the transfer if you can do so. In defence, Sunderland's Omar Alderete, priced at £4.1 million, has had a rough few weeks, scoring just 1 point in each of his last four appearances. He has 79 points to his name and offers a cheap route for many should they want to splash the cash in midfield, which looks the way to go this season. This week, he's our defender choice as he and his teammates for Sunderland face Burnley at home, and they will expect to avoid defeat for the 12th game in a row at the Stadium of Light in the league. The Black Cats are predicted to have the best chance of a clean sheet, according to the odds, and they should have enough to get over the line on home soil. In midfield, Manchester United's Bruno Fernandes is our main target, and after scoring 22 points in 3 weeks, he's now shot up to £9.5 million. He faces Fulham at Old Trafford this week, and the Portugal international has to be considered a captaincy option. He leads the league in key passes and big chances created. He is a bonus magnet if he bags a return. Fulham have only scored 11 goals in as many away games, so there's even a chance of a clean sheet. Up front, Chelsea's João Pedro looks a fantastic asset for the next few weeks, ahead of games against West Ham, Wolves, Leeds and Burnley. Three of those games are at home, and the £7.2 million asset has scored 20 points in 2 weeks. He even scored a brace in the Champions League in midweek. The Brazilian seems to have done enough to earn a regular start under Liam Rossinha. This week, West Ham's defence is something that he can penetrate. The Hammers have conceded the second most shots on target this season. That bodes well for Pedro, who has registered the second most shots for Chelsea this season.
Well, a big thanks to Tom Hill for his FPL update. We're going to head off to the EFL now. And before we get Dan's best bets across the Championship, League One and League Two, time to look at the big talking point of the week. And Marti Cifuentes was sacked by Leicester this week. Some would probably say about time. Others maybe feel that he hadn't been given quite long enough to turn things around. But the Foxes sat 14th in the Championship at the moment, 9 points from the relegation zone and 6 from the playoffs, which just highlights how tight it is in the Championship. Dan, right decision for you, firstly, to get rid of Cifuentes, and who do you think the likely runners are to replace him?
Yeah, I'm in the about time camp, actually. I think he's done well to last as long as he has. Their performances, if you watch Leicester, have been, you know, they've gone nowhere near to the sort of standards I expected to meet. You know, normally when they drop into the Championship, they're a very strong side. I mean, they've not even kept a clean sheet since the middle of September, and offensively, they've struggled, not really had a centre forward they can rely on. Fatawu's been the spark a lot of the time for them, but I mean, that Oxford result was put the tin out on it, really. They were desperately poor there, and another massive blow. Jordan James probably been their best player this season, most certainly most consistent. He's out injured now for a month as well, so I think it's too late really for him to, whoever they get in, to make a push for it. I mean, guys being linked with it, we've got Russell Martin, Vitor Pereira, Gary Rowett. I just think it's going to be a stabilising job really now to the end of the season. I know that sounds silly to say when there's only 6 points between them and the playoffs, but with Jordan James being out for a month, I don't see their performances and results suddenly improving massively where they got on a run of wins anytime soon, whoever's in the dugout. So, yeah, that would be my take on it.
Yeah, I suppose Gary Rowett as a former Leicester defender springs to mind, like you said there, Dan, and, you know, had that Championship experience with Oxford recently, but it's going to be a big ask for whoever takes over at the King Power Stadium to get them to where they want to be. We'll find out over the next couple of weeks who it is who's given that vacancy. We're going to head off to the Championship action this weekend now and get Dan's best bet in terms of the second tier. And who we're looking at this week, Dan?
I'm going to go with Millwall draw no bet home to Sheffield United. About 4-5. I mean, the match result prices, they're around 6-4. So when you factor in the home advantage, the markets are actually are saying that Sheffield United are considered probably a slightly the better side. And I'm not really having that. I know they've improved under Chris Wilder, but there's a 14-point gap between these teams. And Millwall, I get it that a while ago they were in the top six and they had a negative goal difference. But if you look at, since they've got key players back from injury recently, the midfield's thickened up. They've got Coburn, key attacker back from injury. And their recent performances, they're looking like a promotion-chasing team. 9 points in the last 12 available. The exception was a 2-1 loss away to Coventry where they were well in the game, could easily have won that one. So Sheffield United, they're improving, but not so great away from home. 10 losses from 15 away games, and this is a real tough away match. Without the going there without Sumare as well, and Tanganga, who are serving the third matches of their suspensions for their red cards in the loss at Charlton. So now Mill will look overpriced there on a draw, no bet.
Yeah, and Millwall going into this off a 4-0 win over Charlton last weekend. Moving on now to League One, and who's the selection here, Dan?
Going to go Huddersfield to win away to Peterborough. Huddersfield won both their opening two matches under Liam Manning, gone in as a new manager there, won 1-0 at home to Bradford, a dominant 1-0 win, has to be said, and 1-0 at home to Luton on Tuesday. And they played over half of that game with 10 men. A brilliant wonder strike from Ledson that got them the goal. But they were comfortable after that. And they certainly, they seem to have improved with Manning in charge. They've got a very strong squad for League One, that's for sure. And they're playing Peterborough at a good time. Peterborough had no centre-backs available to play for Tuesday's game at Stevenage. They lost 1-0. That Luke Williams, the manager, said that to try and sort of cover up the defensive issues that he tried to play more of a cautious style, and it showed. I mean, they didn't even have a shot on target in that game. They may be slightly better at the weekend because there's some illness around that may have cleared up for the weekend, but I think this is a tough game for Peterborough. Huddersfield at odds against to win it.
Okay, and last but not least, into League Two, and who are we looking at here?
Notts County, odds against to win away to Fleetwood for me. They're fifth in the league at the moment, really sort of trying to push, I think, towards automatic promotion under Martin Patterson. Three wins in a row, all by the odd goal, but I think they've been kind of better than that. The 1-0 at home to Crewe last weekend, they were really dominant. They were dominant, apparently, in the 2-1 win where they come from behind at home to Swindon as well on Tuesday. So their levels look like they've gone up recently, Notts County and Fleetwood. It's a good time to kind of play them. Sack Pete Wild last weekend after a defeat, trying to remember what the result was. But they did bounce back against Harrogate with a 2-1 win in the week. But Harrogate, we all know the struggles that they're going through at the moment. Fleetwood have got a lot of injuries, sold the key striker Graydon earlier in the month to Salford, and I just think they're readily opposed here. Notts County to win.
Yeah, I'll be honest as well. I saw the second half of the Harrogate-Fleetwood game, and Harrogate were the more likely to go on and win it 1-1 as well. So it was slightly fortunate to get the 3 points. So just a reminder of Dan's selections then for the EFL this week. Millwall draw no bet in the Championship, Huddersfield in League One, and Notts County in League Two. Time now for Milt to give us his Premier League bet builder. And James, I think we're going to go with a Manchester United-Fulham game here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, first selection, both teams to score. I mean, both of these sides, as we've mentioned, playing with a bit of swagger. United so good going forward in that derby win against City, weren't they? And then scored a couple of worldies in the 3-2 victory at Arsenal. So they're full of confidence in attack. But Fulham pose a threat themselves. You know, both teams have scored in 10 of their last 13 games. That includes matches against Manchester City, Newcastle, Liverpool and Chelsea. So they can definitely contribute to the entertainment at Old Trafford. The second leg, Bruno Fernandes to assist a goal. You know, just looking at the big chances created stats in the Premier League over the past few seasons, you know, even when United were rubbish, Fernandes is top of the list in terms of creativity. Now, as we saw at Arsenal, he's playing with some forwards who can convert those chances that he's creating. He got given the assist for Patrick Dorgu's goal at Arsenal. I'm not sure how much he knew about it, really. Dorgu did the lion's share for that goal. But that was Fernandes' 10th assist in his last 13 league starts, which is phenomenal. And you'd expect him to be at the heart of things for United again this weekend. And talking of in-form attacking midfielders, I'm going for Harry Wilson to have two or more shots for Fulham. Having an absolutely fantastic season for Fulham and for Wales. Has scored a late winner against Brighton last weekend. That was his 8th goal in his last 18 league appearances. And his shot count, really, really impressive. He had 8 attempts at goal in the home win over Chelsea this month. And he's had at least 2 shots in 8 of his last 9 games in the Premier League. So I think he'll be the major threat to United's defence.
Okay, just to remind you of the Premier League bet builder then from James. That's both teams to score in Manchester United against Fulham. Bruno Fernandes to assist a goal and Harry Wilson to have 2 or more shots. Time now to move on to the assist treble for this week. A selection from each of the three of us. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, just Forest to win at home to Palace. I just think Forest you know, found a nice bit of form at the moment. I don't think they'll be too distracted by the Ferenc Varos game. Premier League survival is the priority. Palace, I mean, it's just been awful for a long time now. I watched it when they lost to Macclesfield in the FA Cup. They were dreadful. That was with Gerhi in the side. I mean, with him leaving the last away game in the Premier League, they even got a good start, took the lead at Sunderland, still looked fragile and ended up losing the game. I don't see them getting anything at the City Ground.
Okay, it's Forest for Dan, and I think you're sticking with the Premier League, Milts.
Yeah, I'm going for both teams to score in Wolves versus Bournemouth. Been a winning bet in Bournemouth's last 8 Premier League matches. They had that 3-3 draw in the FA Cup at Newcastle as well. And I think, you know, Wolves have to go for it, have to give their fans something to cheer about. Average just under a goal a game at Molineux in the league this season. Thrash Shrewsbury 6-1 in the FA Cup. And I think they'll get chances against a gung-ho Bournemouth side.
Well, I'm going into the Championship and I'm going to select Leicester to beat Charlton at 19-20. I think this is more about Charlton than Leicester, in all honesty. But the Foxes will expect to bounce from a change of manager, and a win will just about keep them in touch with the playoff chasers. And home advantage, I think, could be key here, because Charlton's away record is poor. The Addicts haven't won in any of their last 9 games on the road. They've only won twice away from the Valley this season, and their last away win came back in October. It's an early kickoff as well, 12:30 start at the King Power Stadium on Saturday. So Leicester to beat Charlton at 19-20 is my selection. So just to remind you, the assist treble this week is Leicester, Nottingham Forest, and both teams to score between Wolves and Bournemouth. And we'll conclude this week's shows with the nap of the week. And James, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going for Hoffenheim to beat Union Berlin in the Bundesliga. Hoffenheim absolutely flying. Only defeat since the October international break was against Borussia Dortmund, who are a really strong side. Just looking at Hoffenheim's home record, they've won their last 6, hammered Borussia Mönchengladbach 5-1 this month. They won the reverse fixture against Union Berlin in August 4-2, and I think they're a great bet to complete the double this weekend.
So it's the Bundesliga selection of Hoffenheim for James. And Dan, I think you're looking in League 2.
Yeah, James has gone to Germany. I'm staying on the Trent. I went with Forest, Nottingham Forest for the treble. Going to go Notts County for the nap away to Fleetwood. My memory's returned that third defeat in a row for Fleetwood was away at Colchester last weekend that led to Pete Wilde sacking. As you mentioned there, Warren, you know, didn't really improve massively despite winning the game away to Harrogate midweek. Notts County are on a real great run at the moment. I think they'll get another win.
Okay, big thanks to both Dan and James for all their inputs and thoughts on this week's Assist Show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The Assist will be back again next Thursday. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.